Let's go to Romans chapter number 5 and read verse 19, 20 and 21, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, okay, I think we'll get this one right. Who was that one man? Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who was that one? Jesus. Adam's sin plunged humanity into disgrace, is how sometimes you'll hear it sung that way. Everybody in here probably already knew that, but it's not bad to be reminded. A dear friend of ours, Evangelist Jack Tripp, from over in the central part of North Carolina. I don't remember if he was at the church he now pastors or was preaching a revival. And he kept referring in that message to Adam's fall. And he said a very nice lady didn't give the outward appearance of somebody who had never been to church. Okay, not being ugly. She looked like someone who had probably been. She stopped him on the way out and she said, "This fall you were talking about, now who was it and where did he fall?" Now, that doesn't make me giggle or be amused at her. I'm just telling you, America's a mission field. And don't assume anybody and everybody knows what you're talking about when you use Bible language. And that being said, when you run into people who don't, would you be as kind to them as somebody once was to you? Now, when you were at that stage where you didn't know it, you could have well been in the 5-year-old Sunday school class, but your teacher didn't laugh at you for not knowing. So just because they're 15 or 25 or 35 or older, let's show that same grace and maybe be like Courtney testified, heartbroken that America is no longer a Christian nation and they don't know, haven't heard it, and be thankful for the truth that he brought into your life. Okay? One man's sin, one man's obedience. 20. Moreover, the law entered, that would be with Moses. The law entered that the offense, that would be the sin, might abound. When you're face to face with the law, you realize what a sinner you are. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, all that sin, all you young people, all sin is ever going to accomplish in your life is death. Don't forget, there's pleasure, Silas, in sin for a season. See, here's what happens in our churches. We're warned about sin. We're told about the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin will destroy you. Sin will mess up your mind. Sin will rob you of your health. Sin will affect your marriage. And these young people grow up hearing that sin is bad and it will do all this. And then the first, and they're born sinners, okay? They don't sin for the first time when they're 18. But the first time they get out there and enjoy the pleasurable side of sin, you know, there's pleasure there. That could be a high. That could be fornication. That could be making a whole bunch of money in an illegal way. Right? Any number of ways that sin could bring pleasure to you. And I'm not so sure that we're not good enough or careful enough to warn about the pleasurable side of sin. Okay, and then you know, and then they experience that. You could be a 40-year-old, and your wicked mind goes, "That's not what the preacher said was going to happen when you sinned." That's exactly what it went through Eve's mind. "In the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die." Satan said, "You shall not surely die." And she took a bite. Adam took a bite. They didn't fall over dead, but rest assured, they died. They died. Okay? So, wow, there is so much in these verses. Verse 21, sin reigned unto death. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal. Would you say that next word? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's my text. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Please say the next two words with me. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? And I'll stop there. Rich scriptures that I hate to not deal with, but I'm taking this in bite sizes because there is so much in here. I'm calling the series Walking in Resurrection Power, playing off of all the death we talked about last week. After death comes burial in Christ. We are raised to walk in newness of life. Now look at verse number, the second half of 1 and all of 2, chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you'll look at tonight's title, you might find it a little perplexing, a dangerous truth. How could truth be dangerous? Well, let me illustrate it this way. Somebody said this: the truth never hurt anybody. The truth has per near killed some people. Now let's look at this truth, and let me answer the question why I call it a dangerous truth. And that's not original with me. I'm not that smart. But I love the way it brings it home. It's dangerous because it reveals my heart. That is why there are denominations, there are churches, and there are individual men who won't preach that. They skim over it. They won't preach it to their people because they're afraid of what they'll do if the law is not held over their head. And a threat. I'm going to hit on the marriage because we all get it. We all get it. Every time I use the marriage illustration, everybody's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. If she has to threaten me to stay home and be faithful, that is not a marriage. That is bondage. And if God has to threaten me to keep me on the straight and narrow because my heart is on the Broadway, something is wrong. And I'm going to make every allowance necessary for needing to grow, needing to mature, for my background affecting me, his background affecting him, Preacher Raines' background. I'm going to make every allowance in the world, but the bottom line is my background is different from his, whose is different from his, whose is different from hers. They're all different. But the fact of the matter is, we've got one. Here's what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. One God and Father of all. Yes, there's different backgrounds. Yes, different ones of us were exposed to different things in our formative years. I'll allow for every single bit of that. But if you're born again, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. You're born again. You're washed in the blood, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You got a Bible. You've got a church. We've got all of these things going for us. Are there obstacles that he may have to overcome that I don't, and vice versa? Absolutely. But there is one God. There is one Lord. So let's look at this. Let me go ahead and give you the blanks, and then I'll just share what's on my heart, and we'll be through. Number one is the temptation. That first blank, if you're taking notes, and I appreciate the interest in that. Number two is the revulsion. Number three is the conclusion. Let's look at it very, very quickly. Here's the temptation. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Go to verse number 15. Go to verse number 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? He has the same answer. God forbid. You say, Brother Raines, why is that a temptation? Because your sin nature is as wicked as the charred walls of hell. I don't like that. I wish it wasn't true. I wish it was eradicated. That means killed, destroyed, gone. But it's not. And that means in this weird, perverted, is perverted, this weird, perverted, horrible way, that my sin nature goes, Wow. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Do you know what your sin nature thinks about that? Well, if I do more sin, then God gets to show more grace. And that should be our response. No. And if everybody in here is revolted, that's repulsed by that, wonderful. Say amen. Stay out of your Bible 3 days. Stay off of your knees 3 days. Miss 2 church services and see if your sin nature doesn't rear its ugly head and go, huh, well, you ought to try that. You can get forgiveness. And boy, we know how God loves to forgive. Does that sound like heresy coming out of my mouth? It should. You should be repulsed by that. And you go, Preacher Raines, that's for the church down the road. Oh, no. No, no, no. The devil loves to infiltrate Bible-believing churches. Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible living, Bible growing churches with that mindset. And if the whole congregation doesn't go there, God forbid, thank you, Brother Paul, God forbid, the devil will send people in there with that corrupt mindset, and here's where they will reveal themselves with their tongue. Okay? I've used this illustration. I'll just do it briefly and keep moving because it's so shocking that nobody ever forgets it. A man sat down with my dad and said, Dad said, I got some concerns about some reports I've been getting about your lifestyle. He said, are you doing such and such? Okay. He said, and it was immorality. Grown man. Okay. He said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, you know what the Bible says. Oh, yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir, it's wrong. And he said, but you're still doing it. He said, yes, sir. And Dad said, you're planning on doing it again this weekend. You're meeting her this weekend. Yes, sir. But I ask the Lord to forgive me when I do. That was our reaction. I'm not sure that was my dad's reaction. Dad's probably was, you're nutty, you're in a fruitcake. Brother Youngblood, that is sinning so that in your messed up mind, grace may abound. And there's not one verse of Scripture to support that. And Paul wrote it, and we're gonna go to the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. That's point number 3. But I'm just telling you, the godliest person in here who has spent the most time with Jesus since Sunday has the potential for their thinking to get so messed up that they're like, if I do this, God gets to show me more grace. And if you're sitting there thinking, that can't be me, that would never be me, listen to your preacher, you're a more prime candidate than anybody in the room. We're a mess. And the people I know that walk in victory are the ones who get up every morning going, I'm a mess, and if Jesus don't help me, I'm going to show it. Buddy, when you get up and fall on your knees and say, Lord, I'm a broken mess, and if you don't guard my heart and my mind and my eyes and my tongue and my ears, there's no telling what I could get into today. That one is going to be the one who gets the help from God. So don't ever forget that you have the potential in you to be tempted to sin to allow God to show grace. As messed up as that is. Number 2, the revulsion. Here's what, that's not a word we use very often, is it? If ever? It means something that's disgusting. It is disgusting to think that our sin gives God an amazing opportunity to show grace in our lives. Let me tell you something. If I never intentionally or if I never did another sin on purpose, I am still going to give God all kinds of reasons to show me grace. I'm not going to call any names. Everybody just relax, take a deep breath, and just chill. Okay? When I was studying and praying for this message, I thought of testimonies in the last 4 weeks, Sundays and Wednesdays, I've thought of testimonies in the last 4 weeks of things people have said God dealt with them about. And I am telling you, sin is supposed to be a revulsion, a revolting, disgusting thing to us as a believer. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I am not saying you're not going to need to grow. I am thankful that He gives me time, chance, and opportunity to grow in grace. I'm glad He doesn't hit me with the whole shebang when I get up from my altar getting born again. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I'm not saying you're not going to need to grow, but I am saying that there are things that when you go and meet the Lord, stuff that didn't bother you yesterday is going to bother you today. I have grown up hearing people testify and say, I said this, I watched this, I went here, you fill in all the blanks, and they'll say, that never bothered me 3 days ago, and I was miserable today, preacher. And it may or may not have been something they had ever heard preached, but it was just the fact that God, the Holy Ghost, was living inside of them. Now, I want to illustrate this in a very, very, for me, powerful way. If you're able, please follow along with me. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now listen to me. An opportunity to sin reveals where your heart is. An opportunity to sin reveals where your heart is. Let me illustrate it this way. May God help me to get it across to you the way He got it across to me. Did we read 27 and 28 or 28 and 29? 27 and 28. Look at 28. Does the Bible say, thou shalt not look on a woman? Go to 27. Does the Bible say, thou shalt not commit adultery? That's the law. Right? Brother Michael, he didn't say, thou shalt not look on a woman. I know this is sensitive. You saw worse than that on the menu at Bojangles. I'm serious. They can't advertise chicken or a hot dog without being filthy. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Great day in the morning. And heaven help you if they got a TV in the dining room. You have no idea what it's going to be saying or playing. My Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then all he says in verse 28 is, and whosoever looks on a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery already in his heart. But he never one time said, thou shalt not look on a woman to lust. Love, Brother Fred, will keep me from looking on a woman with lust. The law will keep me from committing adultery and fear of red. Because it will not be good. I don't know how much love she has, okay? Her love may run out. What the world needs is a little love, okay? Y'all help me now. But I can be at Bojangles. I can be wherever. And the devil bring the wrong opportunity across my path. And love will keep me looking at my dirty rice. Not my dirty euphemism. Come on now, somebody help me. I'm just telling you, an opportunity to sin reveals my heart. Okay? I'm not saying parents create opportunities for your children to sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil will take care of that and give them plenty of opportunities. But I am saying when an opportunity comes along and I fail that test, I am simply revealing to you where my heart is. Now, before I move on, let me say this. I put it in the reference, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, you would do well to look back in chapter number 6 at what those promises are. Okay, let me finish 7:1 and then I'll drop back into chapter 6. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Here's what I have learned in my life. Most of us major on either the flesh or the spirit. I've known people, I've done it myself, get that flesh cleaned up, covered up. Don't you wish some people would? I wish I had that fruit that Eve ate and she realized she is naked. I would just walk around pitching that to people. Sorry, nobody told you you were naked. But the rest of us know it. The word modesty means not drawing attention to the flesh, a good amen. Or the form, another good amen. That amen wasn't as good as the other one. We were somewhere the other day and I asked my wife, I said, does she know those are underclothes? Does she know she's in her underclothes in public? I said, somebody, she doesn't realize she didn't finish dressing. Chris said, I was being serious. Chris said, she knows. She knows. But so what I've seen is it's real easy to, man, I want that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to wear that. And then at the expense of the Spirit. And then I've worked with people. I believe they knew the Lord, Brother Fred. And they read and studied and they really focused on those sins of the Spirit. I worked with one lady. She came at the jail. We were working in, we got to go home at night. We weren't in jail. And she said, man, my preacher's preaching on this and God's dealing with me and I'm doing a study on and I forget. She said, and boy, God has just been dealing with me. And it was good and it was true and it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. But I had to blush when we talked, you know, and kind of avoid eye contact. And I probably needed what she was studying. And I know she needed some of what I've got settled in my heart about those issues. Can we all work on the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit? Amen. I think that went over like a lead balloon. 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, please learn not to read a statement like that and go, amen, having these promises, dearly beloved, amen. Promises of God, amen. They're yea and amen in Christ, amen. What promises is he talking about? Oh, I don't know, but isn't that just a sweet word, the promises of God? Having therefore these promises of God, don't you think he told us what those were? So drop back 3 verses into chapter 6, and you know what those promises are? I'll be your father and you'll be my child. He said, Brother Ames, is that really a promise that would make me want to clean up the flesh and the spirit? Oh, absolutely. You have no idea. No, none. I could cry right now, but I won't. You have no idea the people I have sat with, my wife and I have sat with, and the deepest, darkest hurt in their life is not having anybody that they knew cared for them. Brother Billy, I'd be hard-pressed to say anything has come to us more often than that. And so, finding out that God is your Father and loves you, here's my word for the night, unconditionally. The number of people, Dustin, that I've dealt with who didn't have that in their life and then find out that's what God is in their life, they're like, he wants me to start doing this? I'm in. He wants me to quit doing that? Absolutely. If he loves me that much, bring it on, Jesus. I'm with you. I'm not being irreverent. The promises of God, cleansing yourself from filthiness of the flesh and spirit, is not a hammer. Right. It's not me whacking you over the head. It's me going, God is your Father and He loves you so much, He doesn't want you hurting yourself. We have periods in our life when we're immature, just like your children do, and you tell your 8-year-old not to do something and they pout, free of charge. We didn't allow pouting and whining. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, the Rains, we know your kids, and they all pouted and whined. They did it behind our back. Axer. If they did this, if they started that whiny mess, here's what we said, buddy. You file this away. You'll need it in 18 months. Before, we'd say, we can't hear a word you're saying when you're whining. Hush. When you stop whining, we'll listen. You say, Brother Rains, that's child abuse. It probably is. It probably is. I said, I can't hear you.
But he hurt.
I can't hear you. Stop. When you stop that whining, and you say, but they're hurt. They ain't hurt. They're actors. They deserve Academy Awards. They're born that way. Manipulative little D-E-V-I-L-S. Devils. And I love them. I love them. Everybody in here wants to hear that, but Mike and Audrey, and they ain't here. Okay? Because they can't see it right now. They're blind. It won't be long. 3 months max. Super Nanny 901, 911. Am I right? Close? Help me now. Come on. It don't take long, does it? There we go. I'm trying to get him to talk. All he's done is nod at me. Talking about daddy, not the baby. Okay. Back to chapter 6. I'm coming in for a landing. Number 1, temptation. Number 2, revulsion. Number 3, conclusion. How then shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you're dead to sin, it's not possible. So is my Bible contradicting itself? Absolutely not. I put it in your notes. Let me read it to you. I don't like to read to you. I don't like to be read to. If I'm going to read something, I'll reread it on my own. Let me read. We are to become in practice, that's our walk, what we already are in Christ. In Christ, we're dead to sin, but alive unto God. Now, this is not in your notes. Put it in there and let me illustrate it and I'm through. The illustration here is a baby. Okay. I don't know your family, okay? But let's assume you're proud of your last name. Not everybody who has that last name you're proud of, but you're proud, right? You don't want to be arranged. You're glad you're a Bayless, right? Would you help me? Can you help the preacher? Will you? Yeah, okay, we'll stay right here. There we go, okay? You're trying to manipulate me. Do you want him to be a good Bayless? Hard worker? Honest? Kind? Tough when it's time to be? Between you and me, is he any of those right now? The answer is no. Am I right, Brother Youngblood? Truthfully, he's none of those. He doesn't work for what he eats. He's not honest. You may think he is, but the Bible said he came from the womb speaking lies. He doesn't have any character. Did you know that? Let me look at him now, grin at me. He's full of the devil. He's like, here's what he's saying. I got my way. Y'all, I'm making a good point. You want to get rid of him?
No.
Mom said. See what he's offering. Rough day, Caitlin. Look at it. Look at him grin. He's full of the devil. He's manipulative. Don't, just take my word for it. Please come back next Wednesday. Okay. Y'all, seriously now, watch me. I'm done. He is nothing that his mom and daddy hope he'll one day be. Is he their son? Are they going to get rid of him? What are they going to do? Teach. What else? Raise. What else? Love. What else? That's most of it, isn't it? Teach, train, love. What was the other one? Help. Right? Feed. He's got to grow. Let's assume whenever that God gives him another one. And that one's learned a few lessons. Who's going to have the hardest time in the family with all the lessons the baby needs to learn? Everybody's hanging their head because you're like, we're going to set ourselves up. Mom and daddy's going to get it on number 2. Number 1's not going to be real patient with number 2. Come on. Thank you, Michael. Little delay, but when you've learned those lessons, it's real hard. Nobody got on your nerves like those younger brothers. Am I right? It could be somebody else, and he'll probably show a little patience with them. But that blood can, oh, Lord have mercy. Can I please just go to Bojangles after church without three of them tagging along? And at the same time, who has the biggest influence on the threefold? Now, they're not going to admit it. Okay, they want him to think they don't care. But they do. Church, that's what we got to be. I don't mean running around whacking them in the head with the Bible, but them seeing the love of God, the joy of God, the prayers answered. Somebody ought to come up to you and say, wow, how'd you hear God? What does that mean? God woke me up and told me he was holding my heart in the middle. What does that mean? You don't have to have a theological degree to tell them. Tell them what he did for you. She said she's thought about that multiple times and it blessed her heart to pieces. And we all knew what that meant. She's not the only one who's told me that. Did you know that? Probably not. I'll let them tell you. That's not the only one who's told me. So I'm just saying we are to become what we are. He's a Bayless. Fletcher, 11 months old, is a Rains. Now, he's a sorry excuse for one. But we love him. We're going to pray for him. We're going to teach him how to work. When Brother Tommy Turner was preaching to us out here the other night, talking about loading hay, I thought this, Dad. I thought every boy in America ought to have to load hay. If you live in a subdivision on a third of an acre lot, you ought to have to load hay. You ain't worked till you've loaded hay in May and August. Both of them have unique characteristics that you need to experience. You need to experience the May one and you need to experience the June one when the humidity is 125%. We say, what makes the May one so special? Because you've been laid up all winter, unless you're a block mason. You've been laid up all winter, and you out of shape. And before 11 o'clock on the first morning of hay season, you are screaming. And you're going, I wish I'd studied more in school so I'd have got that office job. So we're going to teach Fletcher how to work. We're going to teach Fletcher how to be a man of character and integrity and hope that he honors the name. Jesus wants me and you and you and you and you and you to honor the name. That's what this is all about, is becoming what I already am. Let's pray. I love you, Lord. I love your word. I love your people. I love the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. I love truth, and the truth still sets us free. Help every member of this church. Bless our dear visitors. We love them so much. Bless anybody who's watching and will watch in the future. Lord, my brain goes 12 directions at once, and I know there's easier men to listen to. But I pray that the truth would fall into fertile soil and bear fruit. All for the glory of Jesus. In thy name we pray.